sunburned every time
I go out there.
And I have my hoodie on, so I put sunblock on my neck and my face, and then I take my hoodie off when it heats up, and I forget to put sunblock on my arms, and my arms always get burned. I make my farmer tan even worse.
Oh, mm-hmm. No.
Okay, guys, we're talking about The Babadook. We just watched that on Netflix. And a kind of interesting little psychological thriller horror movie, I guess. From Australia. Kind of indie, kind of one location for the most part.
Did you say Monstralia?
I thought you said Monstralia.
No, I didn't, talking about Mothman, I didn't say any of those things. So, what do you guys think?
I think the moths in Australia are probably gigantic. Well, human-sized.
Poisonous, for sure.
Yeah, venomous.
Definitely poisonous.
Yeah, definitely venomous.
They probably eat babies.
Even the leeches have leeches in Australia.
The leeches of unusual size.
Yeah.
Hello, U.S.s.
Mm-hmm. It's a leech.
It was a good movie. Yeah. It may as well have been black and white.
Ooh. I mean, yeah.
Because of the color palette?
Yeah.
That palette was so depressing.
A lot of blues, really cold and muted.
Yeah.
It was a pallid palette.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. I feel like they never took advantage of a few moments, even when they were like in parks and stuff, to kind of, I don't know, crank up the saturation or kind of make it seem like there is this potential of a more pleasant outside world. Mm-hmm. Or mm-hmm. Even like at the end, maybe kind of hint that with the way the ending happens and works out. So yeah, I guess that was kind of a disadvantage that they just sort of.
Although the Babadook doesn't go away in the end,
it's a movie on Netflix.
Sorry,
it's called the Futile Podcast. People listening to the Futile, whatever it's called, they know that we spoil stuff. That's what we could talk about. You're right.
Mm-hmm. But I was just gonna say, yeah, that spoiler thing that I said.
Yeah, not a happy ending.
It's not really a happy ending.
Retained.
It's kind of a weird, acceptable ending.
I'm pretty sure most of that was in her mind.
Yeah, it was acceptable.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it works that way. It's one of those have it, cake and eat it too type of horror movies where, there's monsters for people that want to see monsters and jump scares, and then there's also like, oh, this is like an involved, introspective, psychological thriller kind of about this woman dealing with the pain of losing her husband and the unwanted resentment, and I mean, you know, you could get into postpartum depression stuff. It doesn't go into that direction. I bet if it were longer,
but
it was
I'm sure,
a script.
Yeah.
She has like that.
I think that's like implied.
It just keeps getting worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's it's lack of sleep stuff. Yeah. You throw that in there.
Mm-hmm.
You start zanying it out.
Lack of touch.
That comes into play. Yeah.
Shit.
She just needed her 3 minutes every 2 or 3 weeks, and she'd be okay.
She'd be fine. She gets sleep. She'd be okay. Didn't get that touch that week, and she was not
allocated amount. I mean, that did seem to be sort of the main instigating factor when things really started to go wrong.
That's what I'm saying.
It was called the inciting event.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in terms of the performances, I thought that the kid did good as an annoying kid.
Yes.
Very, very annoying.
God damn, yeah.
He was pretty solid.
She was good.
He was solid, yeah.
The lead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was just sort of so worn out and the whole time. I mean, maybe that was part of the problem, is that she's worn out at the beginning, essentially. There's not a lot of direction for her.
Yeah.
You know? No. She's, like, only tired and kind of sick of the kid. And not like, there's no, like, things are pleasant and saturated colors. And
mm-hmm. It's been 7 years, so how come all of a sudden now the Babadook shows up?
You know, the book and stuff, yeah. Who's to say? Maybe it's maybe it's like the opposite of the 7-year itch. You know, whatever chemicals were there have worn off, and now it's all just resentment.
Huh.
It makes you think, though.
Mm-hmm. She had excellent flyaway hair.
It
had like
it was real
nice and crazy.
It was crazy the whole time. Yeah. Like it was always different. Crazy. It was like crazy one way, and then she'd like the next scene would be crazy in a different way.
Then it would be like trying to be put together, but clearly
but still not.
Her hair was clearly the real Babadook. It just latched itself to her head.
I found the only part of color in the whole movie.
Mm-hmm. Had to drain it.
Drain it. We'll take your color away. Yeah.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, it was a weird one. I mean, I wonder how much of it's going to bug me now when I go home to my house in the woods.
I'll just wait.
I am going to be watching something happy, happy before I go to bed. Possibly
watch an episode of Archer or something.
Yeah. Make sure to eat your touch so you can get some sleep on.
See, I'll keep you posted. How about that?
Yeah. That was like when we watched Danielle and I watched the first Paranormal Activity in theaters. And there were three teenage girls in front of us.
Oh my god.
And they were screaming, and they would break throughout the movie and talk to us. And, oh, it's so scary, just hug each other, you need to hug each other. Like, I'm not kidding, this is actually what they were saying to us.
Saying to you?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And we're sitting there watching, going, stupid movie.
This is dumb.
And we go home that night, and Danielle goes to sleep, and I'm laying there awake, and I hear, like, a tiny creak, and I'm just like, oh god.
Oh my gosh. It happens, yeah.
I feel like it didn't get me for 2 weeks, though. Mm-hmm. And so I was by myself at home, and then I was like,
mm-hmm. Stupid teens. They don't know shit about shit.
The scared of the dark thing is for fucking real, man.
I mean,
raccoons and cougars and all kinds of the shit out there. Not the raccoons.
Exactly. Especially like out here. Yeah. We have bears.
Yeah. Oh, I walked that breezeway between my apartment.
Bears are scared of me.
Bears are cute looking, but they scary, yo.
I think there's monsters in there. That's not true. I have watched monster stuff, that TV show, The Strain. Is a monster TV show. I'd watch some of that. It's Guillermo del Toro.
Huh.
And it's got some, I mean, it's gotten kind of hokey and more like an action show now. Mm. But which is fine, whatever. It's got interesting bits still. But like when it first started, it was really, there was the aspects of like this monster, there was this presence, and when it would show up, they'd do the creepy music. And then I'd go outside that night, you know, and I'd walk down in the breezeway that's open there, and I'd just look out into the dark, just like Babadook style. The light fades into the dark.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
And, yeah, part of me's always thought, like, if I was really brave / stupid, I would go up to the, you know, the landing up there some night and just go into the woods, and I would just, like, kind of chill out up there.
Oh, my
like
gosh.
Like, 3 really o'clock in the morning.
No, you have to be insane.
There's some big trees out there, and it showed me, and I wanted to go to them, but I was wearing shorts, and there were mosquitoes out there.
Yeah, it's a freaky, it's cool in the daytime, but even in the daytime, it's still kind of freaky. But
I can't go in that terrifying area. Mosquitoes.
They will bite the hell out of me.
That's a good reason.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Need some pants and a sweatshirt. Maybe a turtleneck. I don't know.
You need a whole
apparatus. I would need a shield and a sword.
And a sword.
And
well,
a suit of armor.
Sword.
Then maybe.
And some bug spray.
And some... Oh, yeah. Sure.
Bug spray could be my shield.
I mean, to go out into the woods.
Oh, well, yeah. No, I wouldn't go out there anyway. I'm not going to ever do that. So part of me does think, like the idea of like dragging a couple of extension cords out and like setting up like a whole like redneck style old school CRT with the wood paneling on the sides. sit there and watch a VHS on WrestleMania 4 or something. Folding chair and like at 3 o'clock in the morning in the middle of the woods.
Yes.
I'm weird like that though, you know. That's like, that'd be an installation art piece, you know, it'd make you think.
This guy is crazy.
Pretty much. Why not?
Art by Ian.
Get enough critics behind you, and then it becomes like genius. Yeah.
We can all just like stand behind you and just be like, yes. Mm-hmm.
By Fi, yeah. By Ian, for Ian.
Beefy.
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 Gotta get my beefy on. Oh my gosh. I'm trying to think. I mean, it was pretty... another good thing, it didn't overstay its welcome too long. It was like under 90 minutes. I think because of the pacing and the sort of slow subtleness of it all, it felt longer than it was, but by the time it was done, I was ready for it to be done, but it didn't feel like it. It didn't really have too many false endings. So there's a lot of places with a horror movie where you can just cut to black and leave people freaking out, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And once it escaped the look that was the Johnny Depp barber look,
thank God,
you never saw it again. It was always from its perspective. Mm-hmm. So that kind of leaves your mind in it.
Except for when she was watching those creepy dumb animated shows.
Well, right? Yeah,
circus
crap. There was
magician
some scary
stuff.
Shit in that too. Yeah.
And he just like pops up all of a sudden.
How are you
doing? What made it interesting is you didn't really know what was going on.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, what? I wish I had seen more of the book. I didn't.
That was a creepy ass book.
I was cooking at that point and
it was
feeling
like
maybe I shouldn't poke my head in.
It was like a pop up book. Like, it was pretty nice. It was a nice design.
Book.
It was like
charcoal
drawings
it,
and
like a
red.
It looked like it was like
canvas bound.
It looked like it had a lot of mechanics to it. Yeah. With all the like pop-ups, I don't know. The one part I saw was like a knife and then like blood coming out. I was like, what?
That was the best part. That? Yeah.
Oh, that was the best part?
The throat slit with the
gush.
That was good.
Impressive for a book.
That was.
I mean, obviously it was not real. But I mean, I'm just saying. It's like, whoa.
It was.
I wish I had seen more of that.
Interesting.
It was probably like a human-sized book that they had a bunch of puppeteers working.
Ha!
Whoa.
It was like a person dressed as blood coming out of the throat.
They just designed some stuff and cheated it with close-ups.
Slipping down
So Matt, you were the one that instigated this one, which is cool. Getting people to instigate stuff, so it's not always on me. Being like, come on, ice pirates! And I was like,
always comes back to ice pirates.
Always comes back to him, yeah. So, did you heard about this? What did you heard about?
I heard about it. I forget where, though. It was probably some film blog, like No Film School. But, I just read briefly about it, that it was supposed to be good and scary and new, and so I thought I'd give it a shot.
Hey, good call. I heard a podcast where they talked about it, and one of the guys is a big horror guy, and he seemed to talk about it as being pretty good and sort of laid out that and the fact that it competently lays in the groundwork for this sort of psychological thriller side, which I think it does.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not necessarily new material, but I mean, that they've done that stuff in the past and before, you know, the idea of parents and children and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's going on in The Shining, kind of, and things like that, but I don't know, I thought it was good. There's another good one I've heard is coming out or is in limited. It's called It Follows.
Oh, I feel like I've heard of that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds kind of creepy.
The sex one.
Well, yeah, it's supposed to be like a metaphor for like people like, getting shamed or whatever else. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, well, all the best horror movies have always been good metaphors for social stigmas and other things, and mental illness and whatever else.
It Follows is there's a thing that's following you, and like, can you see it in the mirror? Is that how it works?
I don't know anything really about
it. But like, it's getting closer and closer to you, and it will kill you unless you have sex with someone, and then it transfers to them. It's like an STD.
What? Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Woof.
We never watched it.
That's terrible.
That's awful. That.
It's brand new.
That sounds like everything.
We watched
that
something. It's basically The Ring, but with sex.
Yeah.
God, it just sounds
instead of
so
The
out.
Ring, it's The Cock Ring.
Gotcha. All right.
Sorry, Cock Ringu.
Crimey.
I had to. I've been saving that up for weeks.
Anybody have a particular scene or moment or aspect of the picture that they feel like one would
be? I loved when she fought back, and mostly that's maybe because I don't like horror movies, and I like to see when people win as opposed to just everybody dies. I really liked when she just, like, screamed back at it, and it was like, is it just her screaming, or is it screaming also because, like, mirrors are breaking and I don't know what, but it felt like she was screaming loud enough and intensely enough that things were breaking because of her also, and I was like, yeah, yes,
but
fight
also
it, fight it.
Releasing, like, a lot of other pent-up stuff just from, like, her partner dying and
frustration
of her child, and,
like, maybe
that
was,
life
sucks. That was why the Babadook was able to enter her, was because she wasn't releasing her emotions on her own.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, alright, I'm gonna get in there and release some of the things.
Yep.
So, totally.
There were a lot of neat staircase moments. It just seemed like the staircases kept getting more crazy.
Yeah,
a little bit of an extra
started off
quality
as like
aura.
And then there were like a couple, and then there were like all these different levels, and I was just like, what is happening in this house?
Yeah, another one that's good for houses and is scary stuff is one Mark showed me recently. Recently, but I think it was called Darkness Falls.
Oh yeah, that's a good
one. Where they basically let like hell in, and then it's like they lose.
What?
That was a pretty fun.
I love
one.
That one.
They lose. Did
they
you
lose.
Say they lose?
They lose.
Is that
the
one where, like,
well,
all that
just,
crazy
yeah.
shit happens.
Oops.
Did we see that?
Well, Darkness Falls is like It's the woman they burned, right? Is that the...
No, no, that's the one with like the lighthouse and stuff. Yeah. It's a different movie.
It's not that one?
It might be called Simply... Maybe I got the
name.
Oh,
yeah.
That was
awesome. Yeah, that was good.
Oh, no, wait a minute.
I forget what it's called, though.
Yeah, what was it called?
It's the one where they're like in Spain. And there was some... There's some eclipse. And there was some sacrifice of children. And one of them didn't. And then somebody had to. But it was the tracheotomy was the way that the devil or whatever locker room lawyered him around him.
Okay. Yes, I do remember.
And they're stuck in the house, and they think they got out, but then they realize they didn't.
Oh, that's the worst. That's the most horrifying thing is that you...
It's pretty freaky.
Well, there was a room... Oh, shoot. It was a John Cusack movie, too, where he was in a haunted room. And the whole premise of the movie was like he went through this horrible ordeal in this room, and he got out. And he lived several years on the outside, and then, like, one day he was just back in that damn room.
What?
That's so horrifying.
That is pretty bad, yeah. That's like, you know... I mean, that's when you hit on stuff, yeah, this primal fear stuff. So it's weird, I guess I'd be interested in the sort of evolved psychology of that, because, like, there are obvious fears, you know, like being scared of a wild animal eating you, or, you know, being scared of heights, you're going to fall and break your neck and die. But certain phobias and things and like the sort of stuff that they pull off of when they accomplish a good horror movie with some critter running around or the idea of being trapped, like, yeah, I guess that's, I don't know, maybe it's playing on higher level thinking stuff, you know? And it applies to these things, like the way people's relationships work and stuff. I mean, you know, in the wild, if we weren't civilized, maybe she would just kill the child and and because we can be, or whatever, who knows?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or wouldn't care because there wouldn't be like a bond with the husband in the first place or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, pretty deep thinking
stuff. The
Babadook stuff
wouldn't
there.
Be there.
Yeah.
She wouldn't be so. Yeah.
Freaky deaky. Anything for you, Matt? You talked about the book. You like the sort of book layout, I guess.
Oh yeah, the book was cool. I don't know. I felt like the illustrations were too.
Like cutesy?
I don't know. They weren't creepy. The potential
creepy.
To be creepier was greater than I think it reached.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It looked too consumer or something. I don't know. Like they hired an artist this that was too so good. Consumer.
Like you'd buy it at Target.
Yeah, exactly. It had a Target quality to it.
I think that was
should
a decision,
have had a
though.
Scary Stories quality to it.
That art.
Yeah, that's the terrifying.
I feel like everything in it, like, for the most part, is, like, competently pulled off. It's just that they made certain decisions. And I think that part of it is, like, to make you at least think that this book is something that somebody could have bought at any old dime store, you know? Not mm-hmm. really, though, because it's a nice quality book, but... Yeah, so... But I see what you mean. Yeah, a lot of missed opportunities. Like, there was not as many jump scares in it as I expected it would have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was pretty light on those. Not that you need a lot of those for a good horror movie or a good frightening movie, but just moments where, you know, plays in light and shadow and things mm-hmm. where they kind of came in feast or famine moments. I mean, we all agree that one of the scariest parts was when you first see it, but you see it, like, in this reflection of the window, and it looks like it's in the old lady's place.
Right, in the background, yeah.
Which then kind of breaks, like, the premise of, like, I guess the tough part is because it's a new kind of monster, so understanding monster rules is always interesting, you know? Like, well, like, is this kind of a vampire thing where it had to feel like it was welcome in, and then it made its home in this place? And you kind of get that sense by the end, but or whatever else is going on, but that's weird that, like, I wasn't sure if it was supposed to be, like, she was seeing it reflected in the window, and it was supposed to be behind her, or if it was supposed to be... It looked like it was in the old lady's house, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
oh, was it
neighbor,
actually? Oh, God! Oh, God! Bunny!
The bunny dude!
God!
She was like, she scared the shit out of me.
She was like so casual about
I'm
it.
I'm just sitting here, and all of a sudden, I see something moving right here, and I look, and
there's
a thing there at my knees.
For the listener, we have to set the scene. It's very dark in this room right now.
Right.
Uncomfortably dark.
It's not that dark.
It's so dark, I can't see anyone.
The way I like to record these podcasts now, it's like the same way I take showers. I just do it in the dark. I call it a see no evil
right.
shower.
Aw, Ian, you have to love your body.
Yeah. Apparently, or all the Babadook will get me.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't
it's
really
called
have
a romantic shower.
A romantic shower.
I don't know.
Sorry. Oh.
Something I missed from the movie was really having the scary monster's face thrown into my face. And they kind of hinted that they were going to do that by showing what she was watching on TV with, like, Nosferatu. And there was another movie with this creepy old lady, approaching the camera. That stuff is terrifying. The scary the scary thing that's not left up to your imagination, that's right there for you to look at, that just sinks into you.
Well, plus they had a bunch, like, in the book, again, they had the Babadook, like, descending from the ceiling with the face really close to her face in the book, and so you just expected that to happen.
Yeah, and they had it down with the actual monster when it was running around and, like, coming out of the dark hallways and creeping around the doors. It was there, and then they just kind of skipped it. Like,
they didn't, like, show you its face ever?
No.
Not really. They kind of sort of like a shadow. It's kind of a human face for the most part.
I mean, now who's to say if they cheated that and ran out of money? Or I mean, it's a pretty low budget probably movie.
Yeah.
And in terms of their effects and whatever, or if they just made that decision to keep it more psychological and keep it more like
that's
whatever
true.
You imagine.
Yeah. That's true.
But I mean, it's always the trick. I mean, we've all seen that outtake from Alien where, the alien's tail rolls out and it stands up and it looks like a person in a suit. And so it always takes the fear away when you reveal too much. It's that tricky thing, but like you said, you get some great alien heads in your face in that first movie. Mm-hmm, so you do get to see stuff. It's just sort of abstracted, especially well in the first one. Yeah. Which I'd say the first one's the only one that's a proper horror movie.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
The second one is an action
movie.
Because
that's the one Matt won't let me watch.
right. Second one definitely has some horror moments in it, though.
Yeah. But it's more
really strong.
No, right, yeah. I mean, it's still horrific and scary.
Good example of the kind of monster face all up in my grill that I yearn for.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. How can you yearn for that?
For sure. Well, and that is a good point. That reminds me, because Aliens is like that, because it's still got a lot of the fear and the music, and the things are still horrific and scary.
Yeah.
And like when the one comes up behind Newt and stuff. And I remember that as a kid, like, I think that like just like that. So you've got the fear adrenaline going, then you got the action adrenaline going, and that really does make for a unique experience when you see that movie for the first time.
Twin adrenaline!
Yeah, you really. you're getting it from both barrels. Oh my gosh. I guess I put that together but never really thought about that till recently.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's not something you necessarily get now as you're older. It's more just an action movie. But when you saw it as a kid, and it was
scary. I had to turn it off. I had to turn that movie off. I could not get through it. I was so scared.
Wait, Alien or Aliens?
Aliens.
The intensity is strong, yeah.
Yeah. When they're going in to rescue the colonists. Oh man.
Intense.
Yeah, zany.
Yeah.
So where does everybody land?
That's impossible. They're in the room.
Yeah.
I want to talk real quick about the fact that every time something bad was happening, there was a little flash of light.
Right. Like a wake-up moment kind of thing?
Yeah, it always seemed like, I don't know, like a lot of times schizophrenics describe flashing lights as being like the switch.
Interesting.
And so it's kind of weird, No one ever really saw. She's the only one that ever saw anything. The kid never really saw anything. He.
What about when he was in
like
the car?
Like shouting at the car.
Looking at the.
I don't know. Yeah, that's a good
and
point.
And we was down. Wasn't he down in the basement at one point, like talking to someone? She's like, "Who are you talking to? Or what are you doing? Or something?"
He set up his dad's clothes to look like his dad, like he was giving a
show. Oh, are you kidding?
I know. Isn't that creepy as shit?
So
that's
creepy.
The creepiest thing
that's
there is.
Not cool. Oh,
and the car scene
could
have easily looked like the kid was having a moment for attention.
The car scene?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other thing was the Babadook wore, the suit with the hat, and that was what the kid had set up in the basement as well.
Oh, really?
And it was his dad's
suit and hat.
I feel like there's missing pieces to this. You have to
definitely
get into it, because, like, was the dad into magic, and that's why he'd have a hat like that and stuff?
I don't know. Is that why the kid's into magic?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That would explain that.
Oh, that makes
and the
sense.
Thing about, like, mental illness stuff, like, they never hit on that with the mom. They don't get into, like, a postpartum depression thing that's been extended for 7 years because, heaven forbid, she gave birth to her son while she was being told that her husband was dead after probably being in the same car wreck, so I doubt she was in a great place in any sense.
Well, and you definitely get the idea too that the kid maybe is being sort of disobedient because his mom's not always the one that they portray at the beginning. Like, maybe she's flipping back and forth.
Right.
Maybe a lot of his problem stems from her actions.
That's true. And the fact that there's nothing else for either of them.
Right.
They don't have a lot of other friends. I mean, there's that one guy, but he ends up kind of being a cold fish. Like, you know, he's helpful and kind of seems like he's interested, but then nothing happens there. And
yeah, what a weird character.
And maybe there was another scene there that was missing. Maybe it was going to be some dream sequence where she murders him or something. But
I bet he was intended to get scared off somehow, and they just never showed that.
It's possible, or that was... Maybe. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it still ends up... There's something nice about the fact, like what Claire said, like that she kind of takes agency, takes control over things, and sort of
she has her Ripley moment, and you know.
Yeah,
it's awesome,
and that's cool. But then, I mean, the more I think, I think the thing that's going to keep me freaking out more and more at night is going to be the part when she tells the kid, you know, okay, now go outside and don't come back until I tell you it's okay. Like they just accepted the fact that this thing is still a threat and still a danger in their lives and in their world.
And they just have to like
she goes down and just deals with it.
Keep taming it or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, like it's a wild animal that lives down there, but like so far so good, you know.
It's only been 2 weeks.
And what's to keep it down there, you know?
But again, not to get like too psychological, but
right.
Did I mean like with like the part where she's screaming at it and it's receding, is that her just screaming at her own bad self?
Right.
And that's her time, like her once a day time where she goes down and lets herself like be a fucking nutcase for a little bit.
Yeah, maybe.
Like she even says to the kid later, you know, oh, it wasn't so bad this time.
Yeah.
Quiet this time.
I know.
So it's really a very good story in that sense because it works both ways.
Yeah.
And it's still horrifying in either sense.
Oh.
Yeah.
So who's to say? I mean, if they had hinted more at mental illness stuff, it might have seemed too much like On That Favor. So it's kind of a delicate balancing act for.
I think they did it well.
To go. Yeah, mm-hmm. I do too.
Yeah.
The more I kind of
hash it out.
The more I think it goes up from an objective rating for me. I think I'd probably give it a pretty strong. I almost want to give it a 4 because I mean that's not really my genre, but there's nothing particularly wrong with it, and it's effective for what it does. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'll ever want to watch it again. But,
no, never. But for other reasons,
it's a solid little like psychological horror movie. It's like fuck it, I'll give it a 4. Why not? I'll be generous.
That's kind of how I feel actually too.
I'm with you guys. And I knew watching
it. You were watching it from the mirror.
Yeah.
Well, maybe this is like your gateway into being able to accept horror as a genre.
Well, but I think that's why I might give it a 4 is because it was definitely scary and I didn't really want to be in the room, but at the same time, I was very curious.
Yeah,
I kept coming all the way out too, and even like watching the actual TV instead of the mirror.
Yeah, that's true. That gets it. And I think that's just what a good genre, what a good movie can do. I mean, so it's kind of like with music. It's like if it's well done, it, you know, kind of, you know, it's effective. So
yeah.
So you guys are both 4s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I give it 3.
Tyler gives it a 3.
It was good.
Matt gives it 3.
Nice. It was fun. It wasn't. I mean, well, it wasn't fun. It was very scary. I didn't like that part. Rough. But it did a really good job of being scary.
Really well.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It was a nice change of pace for us, I think, to do something like this.
Yes,
so we can branch out, and we still had fun with it. We still laughed about it and made jokes about it.
If I were rating it on conveying a mood, it would rate much higher. It conveyed a very strong mood.
Right. Well, that should be a portion.
No, I'm talking about if I like it.
Well, okay.
I mean that too.
Oh, you mean if you enjoy the process of the mood?
Right. Exactly.
Oh, okay. That's an interesting.
It really, it really scared you then, huh?
It did scare me. Oh, it definitely scared me.
Okay. Okay. Oh, that's awesome.
Cool. I mean, it was pretty scary for me too, based on my own personal experiences with people that have mental illness.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, totally.
But I thought it was an all right movie.
Yeah.
Even though it was kind of stupid.
I agree. It was an all right movie. It was a 3.
Yeah.
Rosie's snoozing about it right now, providing our. Providing our audience audience's subtle subliminal take on the whole thing.
She's giving that ADSR, is that what it is? Just snoring soft in the background.
Oh my gosh. She's making me sleepy.